Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Ladies and gentlemen, today's Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our Amazon page. Please remember to shop Amazon, and when you do, go to MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon or click the Amazon link on our website. It's the best way to shop and the best way to support this program. Now, on with the show.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Since the election cycle began, we haven't started the show with these words very often. Not really, comparatively to other people that would talk and be in media. But Donald Trump.
Oh, that guy?
Donald Trump. Donald Trump.
You know what he is, Mike? He's a businessman. That's what they always say.
He's a successful businessman.
Well, he's a businessman.
Well, he says he's successful, so that's it.
All right.
But, you know, we just got done with, the two, probably, arguably, the conventions of the two most disliked candidates in the history of elections.
True.
With HRC and DJT.
Yeah.
Doing their thing. And then
DJT at the RNC.
So... The way explain if you hear anything differently from this explanation, correct me. But I want to discuss it because I just don't understand it, and I read everything about it, and I still don't understand it. Here it is: the biggest, most powerful thing that the Democrats had at their convention was the Muslim father and mother that came on stage to discuss their fallen son who saved his comrades and was posthumously awarded. That may be a word I cannot pronounce. You want to know why I don't do that? Political persuasions.
Yeah, true.
That's why.
After he
posthumously
passed,
awarded the Bronze Star and the Purple Heart, and he, I watched his speech.
Could I quickly just interject here? I thought the biggest ally was the muscle relaxer that Chelsea Clinton allegedly took before she introduced her mom.
Well, that was just a theory of mine, and and then it happened to be backed up by maybe one person online. So it was. I saw a clip of it last night, and I stand by my statement. But anyway, getting back to
that bounces out with the big moment at the RNC, Mike, which was of course Chachi,
right? Well, there's and the guy with the bandana, the duck guy.
Yes.
So anyway, but Mike, I think yes.
By what the 4 points that were just made on this program,
yes.
Are we really equipped to talk about this?
More than equipped.
We watch.
More than
equipped. We pay attention.
Maybe so over-prepared.
The duck guy.
You're taking the Muslim guy and the host that cannot pronounce posthumously, which I just did correctly.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the duck guy.
And then you're all right, since we're talking about it, just to get it out of our system, and we didn't talk about it last week, to get it out of our system, on the Republican side, you're kidding me. Is it that? I mean, we're talking pure star power. You got to pull Chachi?
Yeah.
You can't do better. There are other.
How could they not?
Kelsey Grammer? Isn't he a big right-wing guy?
Not know that was a punchline waiting to happen? Really?
Well, no, but you know what? I don't think that they. I watched a lot of coverage of it, and they mentioned him that he. But nobody was really like dissing his star power. But then Antonio Sabato Jr. You couldn't get if you're going to get Chachi, get somebody better than Chachi, and then you get Antonio.
Yeah, but
Sabato
Jr. You're missing the point. One, that's not Chachi for me. That's Charles from Charles in Charge.
Okay,
recently, you knew him more as Charles. Yes, yeah, I remember from the older show. That's right.
And actually, Julia knows him from Arrested Development as attorney Bob Loblaw. And so she says, look, it's Bob Loblaw.
Working actor, Rob.
He gets it done. And Mike's still handsome to this
and
day.
And both those guys, if you don't know or you're just kind of just casually watching the convention, you're like, oh, look, he's got Latinos up there.
Right, right.
And an Italian.
But isn't Scott Baio, Italian?
He's Italian.
They're all tan, Mike.
Isn't Antonio Sabato Jr., isn't he Italian?
Oh, I don't know enough about that.
Oh, I thought he was one of Oscars.
No, I think he might. I think he might sound that way.
But the fact that Rob made
Pony look
may
it. Oh,
think
you, can
that.
You look it up or are you doing? Look it up and see. Antonio Sabato Jr. See where he was born. I believe you will find Italy.
Sabato.
Mm. And I and Scott Baio, I believe his parents, may, I think he's, you know, generation.
Hey, who's going to vote Republican this year because they got the Scott Baio out of the stage?
Oh, he's a good boy, I tell you right now. Such a good boy. Bring Italians out there. Yes, sir. Hey. All right.
Yeah, but they could be Latino.
Yeah. Born in Italy.
Oh, damn it. Another one I can't claim.
They can't even pull Hispanics. This is funny. They had a few. They had a few like congressmen.
The tokens.
They had a doctor who was also a politician.
The tokens
was up there.
Didn't count. I watched it too. I said, look, they're putting Latinos on camera. Briefly.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know what? I don't have any dog in this fight.
So what are you wearing? Is that a sticker or a t-shirt?
It's a button.
It's a button. Oh, it's a campaign button.
What are you, 80?
Yeah. No, it's
your big button in front of the polling
have
place.
You checked the show stats yesterday? I'm 80.
Changing my mind.
So,
I was on the fence, but that big button
changed his mind.
That's Thank right. you. Thank you. went to the headquarters this weekend. But
you know,
anyway,
I tried,
Mr. O'Mara.
I tried to find the headquarters for the Clinton campaign because we were doing some sort of mock Samhain school for both parties, right? And I couldn't find it.
They're hard.
In the city, I could not
They're hard.
Find
They're hard
it.
I was tickled. It's easy around here because Tim Kaine has set up his HQ at the Buffalo Wing at Jimmy's restaurant.
Carla always says when we leave a place like that, Carla always says, why are you so mean to them? I said, because I've been dealing with them for the better part of 30 years.
Yeah.
And I know how they all are.
You got a big sign this year?
They're all very opinionated.
Oh, sure.
But when you walk in and say, hey, you got any bumper stickers or, you know, you got any buttons or anything like that to, you know, show. And they don't have that. That's
but
every campaign organizer at the local level, especially when you live in districts, as I always have my whole life, that are predominantly for the other team, they don't put any money into it.
That
local
beautiful
team.
White Hillary button is probably the best $260 you've ever spent.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Actually, we got two buttons and $3 in the jar. To be honest with you.
Oh, okay. Nice.
In the button jar. But I digress, because here's what I want to talk about.
Button jar.
So I'm burned out on the conventioneers.
Sure.
I'm burned out on the, you know, the me. Remember, I'm old enough to remember when sporting events were, you'd go to a game and you wouldn't really dress up, but you wouldn't dress down either.
Sure.
You know, you'd put on like your nice sweater and your nice
cold
winter
coat. That was a golden age.
Coat.
Golden age. FDR days.
And you'd go with your kid, and even the kids, you didn't have, maybe a kid might have a jersey, but probably not.
Right.
And maybe somebody be wearing a hat with the team. And it has evolved now where, in our land of man children, where, well, it's true. Everybody paints their bodies. They decorate themselves like clowns. And the same thing completely goes true with both Republican and Democratic conventions, where you show the floor. I don't know if you guys watch a show on HBO called The Circus, which is a behind the scenes look at all this stuff.
Okay.
But they have so many shots of these people with the Uncle Sam hats and painted red, white, and blue stars on their cheeks, and they've got their big signs,
stars and striped sweaters. Because Mike, they're each one of them the best American in town.
Yeah, and they love to. And protesters, as far as the Sanders people I saw, love to duct tape their mouths. Which say, I'm being quiet. And it's just, and they're really not. They're making a complete and total scene, so they're contradicting themselves.
Oh, I thought there was a mugging. I didn't know what they were doing.
No. So they're all so bedazzled, and I'm tired of them. I'm ready. I say, go home. Thank you for your service. Thank you for your activism. But I'm tired of that whole dance, okay?
Right.
Now, but it leads me to the viral story. I don't want to call it viral because it's not a specific video. It was a speech at the convention, and then the father of this fallen Marine has been on the talk show circuit, and he's saying things about Donald Trump. And I'm back to where I always am with this, with the crazy like a fox argument. And I pose to you two gentlemen, with all this stuff, bottom line, Trump comes out after the speech and makes a comment on one of the interview shows that says, well, she was probably, I don't know, she was probably not allowed to say anything because of their religion. So it's kind of a religious Muslim slur, and it gets blown out of proportion again, and he's getting blowback on this. And the entire news cycle is Trump against this Muslim father who really presents himself very, very well. Kind of had a Oscar's dad vibe to
foreigner,
him.
Educated, well spoken.
Extremely just
but
dignified.
But my mom's,
you know,
not allowed to talk either when my dad's around. That's just cultural.
That's funny.
My kid's mom talks a lot.
I'd love to see you on This Week with like George Stephanopoulos. Thank you. Look. And that's and here's Oscar Santana. That'll be the last show. Well, we're a Latin culture, and my mom's not allowed to say anything either.
Especially on Sundays.
The day of rest.
Because that's his day.
Right. But the question, this is the million, $10 million question here. It's so obvious. The argument is so obvious. It's so despicable what he does and what he says that I think, but he's in the news cycle again, and I'm told by multiple talking heads, this will not affect his base whatsoever. It might, in fact, enhance his base. Is he completely aware when he makes these comments off the cuff that this is going to happen, or is this just a guy that can do anything and gets lucky and really doesn't give much thought and just says whatever?
Let us go back about a year.
Or is he doing it on purpose? That's what I'm, is he doing it on purpose?
Let us go back a year when we all emphatically were making our predictions how long he was going to last in the race.
I remember.
And most of us said, he won't be at the first debate.
Yes.
That he's doing this.
I would have put money on it.
He's a publicity hound. He's out of this. You know, he's out doing this to get people looking at him. Maybe he doesn't even want to be president. And that is still flickering in the back of my mind.
You think that this is as big a surprise to him now as it is to anybody? Even with he's out there, Rob, every day. He sees the people coming to these rallies.
I know.
You
but
still
it,
think
but
it's
it
a
built,
surprise to him?
I think if you told him he would have gotten this far 12 months ago, he would have laughed and we'd all would have laughed.
I think
and had a good laugh about it.
I think he realizes he still won even when if he loses this election.
Yeah.
He
I
still
think
won.
That is also
and I've mentioned
true.
This on the program before that, look, I love the fact that people are engaged. I know I joke about having one electoral vote here in the district and how my vote really doesn't matter in D.C. and we get taxed without representation.
Right.
Look, I'm going to vote. But I'll tell you this, that make no mistake, that Donald Trump has already won. He has already won. So
by surpassing what anyone thought he could do.
But hey, the power that he his name now yields in certain circles across America, you could say half the country, if not more, is 10 times what it was when he was on The Apprentice.
I wonder.
So that in itself is a big win. Now, is he doing this on purpose?
That's the question.
I think he's sticking to his original message.
The game plan.
And that's what's going to get him in office if that's what his people are saying.
So you're kind of saying the thing that he's done throughout the election, the never apologize.
The never apologize is worth from. Why would you get off that game plan?
Going on what Oscar said, if he's already won, he is right now, you know, going forward with a very unorthodox method that we've never seen before. If he keeps going with it because it's going to make him popular in the eyes of his supporters, if he loses, he's still improved his brand.
Dude, and but the
he
last
doesn't
question,
set out to be a president.
No, he hasn't lost. He's, in fact, making more money.
He's a winner.
Well, I think if he loses, there will be an amazing hangover based on the fact that all presidential candidates go through that, Trump or not. He'll do it, too.
Yeah.
He'll experience it, too. How he handles that, will you know, he'll figure out a way. But my feeling,
he'll
again,
just
do you
jump
think
into
he
his
sits
vault,
down? He says, let me see.
Swimming his money.
So there's
Scrooge
really,
McDuck.
So there's really, really a controversy. What if I say something that's like borderline? Do you think it's that sinister, or do you think it's just flying from the ceiling?
I think he's shooting from the hip.
I do, too.
That's all it is.
All right, we all agree on
that.
Yeah,
like he really is. There is nothing.
But a qualifier on it. He's shooting from the hip because he knows there's no penalty.
Like, there is no.
He's seen in the past.
There is no downside. There's no downside.
So go, baby, go.
But there is no downside because, and God bless the people that work in this city that really contribute to this, to this. The overall economy, the federal government, I'm telling you, like, this city wouldn't be what it is today without the wonderful people that work here and live here. And
overcrowded.
Live here, right? But the reason why there is no negative, really a penalty to the way that he does business, especially in politics, is because people are just tired of the way that politics and the status quo is on Capitol Hill. They're
just tired of it. That is part of it.
I mean, they created this.
That's part of it. And if I may have the last word
please.
On that, The other part of that coalition you're talking about,
yes,
are the people that sit at the Thanksgiving dinner table and look across and say, "Hey, Meemaw, he called those people what you called them last week. I love him."
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
Since when do we lock this thing? Come on.
No, we can't go, dude. Sorry.
Holy crap. What happened?
You got pink eye.
You giving each other butterfly kisses or something?
Ha ha ha. Very funny. That's not how you get pink eye. You get it from poo particles making their way into your ocular cavities.
Hey, Ben. Yo. How's it going? I farted on Jason's pillow. It was a practical joke. He farted on Jonah's thinking it was mine, and then eventually pink-eyed my pillow. Not proud of any of this, but I think we've all forgiven each other. But we can't go anywhere.
Wait, you can get pink eye from farting in a pillow?
Totally.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Yeah, but you gotta be bare-assed.
Jesus, Martin got it bad. What, someone take a right in your eye?
No. No pink eye for me. I'm just really high.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana.
And now, from his easy chair, here's Mike.
Live from the Pfeiffer Room in the heart of our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., it's the Mike O'Mara Show. On the air and online everywhere, the Mike O'Mara Show, the daily radio show and folksy internet podcast. Greatest listeners in the universe because they get it. And if you're here, you will too. Maybe I'll just cook you up a nice little patty sausage. Our phone line's always open at 888-920.
Is that a folksy food?
More. This is my folksy delivery, Rob. Oh,
okay.
That's 800. I'm sorry, 888. Let me look at that again. Oh, there it is. 888-920-MORE. 888-920-6673. No, you can call us anytime. We'd sure appreciate it. This show is brought to you by Me Undies. Look, some of you out there go commando, but I know most of you like to wear underwear. I sure do. No matter how you are dressed, you spend almost 24 hours a day in your underwear. Look, chances are your underwear is boring, isn't it? Yeah, it's boring. You don't get excited about your underwear. It's just there in the drawer. You take it out. You put it on. Hey, Me Undies to the rescue. They've changed all that about underwear. Every pair of Me Undies is made from Modal. What a beautiful fabric this is. This is such a nice fabric. It's sustainably sourced fabric. It's twice as soft as cotton. You'll know when you put it on. Feel it dance across your thighs. You have to feel it to believe it. Now listen, words cannot describe the fit and feel of Me Undies. But once you try them on, oh my goodness gracious, you will understand why they are called the world's most comfortable underwear. Now, if you don't love your first pair, here's what I'm going to tell you MeUndies is going to do for you. They're free. No questions asked. They're going to send them. They're free. Keep them. They just want you to try them because they're just so good. Plus, MeUndies has dozens of styles and even limited edition prints that will make sure your underwear is never boring, whether anyone can see them or not. Shipping's free in the United States and Canada. Love Canada. And you can save up to $8 with a pair with MeUndies subscription plan. Get the subscription or a single pair. Either way, you get 20% off your first order. Did you hear what I said? 20% off your first order. Go to MeUndies.com/TMOS. And then listen, take a picture of you and your MeUndies and send it to Rob. And let's see what your undies look like. Love nice. To see that. That'd be fun. I'm not trying to be dirty or nothing. That's MeUndies.com/TMOS for 20% off your first order. Do it today. MeUndies.com/TMOS. And I like to do that folksy approach once in a while, especially when I've gotten a full 8 the night before. A full 8, and I probably could be doing 12 or 13 right now.
Oh, nice. Are you?
Was that aided by any sort of a tablet?
Oh, it was indeedy-do. It was indeedy-do.
It's the best, Mike. Yeah.
10 o'clock, plop, plop, drink, drink. Oh, what a deal it is. 15 minutes later, I'm in the same position I was when I woke up at 6:45.
So you missed the match game last night.
Oh, yes, I missed the match game.
Darn it.
But I watched the best Red Sox comeback win of the year yesterday afternoon.
Nice. Where are
Dustin
they?
Dustin Pedroia.
Where are they in the American League?
They're like third place, but they're in the
measure
hunt.
Those ring sizes.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
They have come off a... They have... Hey. Not even the trade deadline, which is today.
Stop printing the pennants.
The fact is, the Boston Red Sox have been in a terrible swoon. in the late stages of July, and they are. It was a very important win for them to get it. Dustin Pedroia, the little guy.
Who did they beat? Have you mentioned it?
The Halos.
Ah.
Ooh. The California Angels.
Bad day for the family of... Who owned them? It was the Cowboy guy.
It was Gene Autry,
Gene
Rob.
Autry,
yes,
that's
where
right.
You got, he bad doesn't own them anymore.
Bad day for Gene Autry.
Bad day for Gene Autry.
Doesn't
by the way,
Magic Johnson now own them? The owners group?
Yeah. I'm not sure,
oh,
but
Dodgers,
I do a...
I'm sorry.
I do. It's an old impression, but I do a fine Gene Autry.
Do you? No kidding.
Yeah, here we go.
Okay.
Happy trails to you. Until we meet again.
What's the Christmas song you sang?
Oh, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and Here Comes Santa Claus.
Here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus. I sound as old as I am.
I would be willing to bet my entire fortune that he was a dick.
Gene Autry?
I bet he was.
Just because he was a rich guy?
Oh, you know what he was? He was a cowboy star that was a mover and a shaker.
Yeah, the thing is, there were cowboy stars that were like John Wayne. When you looked at John Wayne, you say, hey, Pilgrim, there's a cowboy. He's got his vest. He's got him a shoot him up. Yeah. And then there were cowboy dandies like Gene Autry and Roy Rogers who wore like sequined vests and everything. It's just like, I'm on the trail with my ukulele. It's
to
like,
your
you know,
point,
get off
Mike,
the horse, candy ass.
To your point, you doubt that John Wayne ever said, I'll record the song if I can have an eighth of the publishing.
A lot of those guys out there, they were thinking money, and they made a lot of money in real estate when they were out there because it was the...
you own a baseball team.
Yep, the old frontier.
And he owned a radio station.
He did?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
What station?
K-Dick, it was called.
K-Dick.
Now, boy, you don't like Gene Autry.
No, he really doesn't.
No.
Did you get a bad autograph one day?
No. He was dead long before I came around.
No, he produced the kind of old-time material that Rob doesn't have any time for.
Oh, like spaghetti westerns?
No, Rob will... You know, Rob would never watch an old Western. Rob would watch a...
I'll watch a good Western.
What's a good Western?
A good Western? The Searchers? A lot of the John Ford stuff.
Who?
Okay, that's old. That's all the oldie.
God, Time Capsule.
Yeah.
Who's John Ford? I've never heard that name in my life.
John Ford,
the greatest Western director in the United States.
Director?
He directed all the old-timey great Westerns.
A lot of blackface, I bet.
Not really.
A lot of white guys dressed as Indians, though.
Oh, mm-hmm.
A little tan face.
Have you ever seen a Western like on a mesa, on a massive widescreen, and it's in a mesa, and they've got those huge rocks?
A mesa?
Yeah, it's table. Like those huge, those huge mesa-styled rocks, like in Arizona.
Oh, like Mesa, Arizona.
Exactly. That actually, the big ones, it's called Ford Valley, because that's where he shot all his Westerns. There you go.
Ford Valley. You look at all those Westerns, they're all California desert.
Yeah, I hate cheap Westerns.
What's a cheap Western?
I like a Gene Autry Western, or who is it? Tex Ritter? Blech.
Tex Ritter?
John Ritter's dad.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he comes from Hollywood?
Well, he got his pedigree? money from Big Cowboy.
The really? Searchers, one of the big ones. Stagecoach, another
Stagecoach,
one of his
Stagecoach, 1939,
ones.
Fantastic.
The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance, another great
Debbie
one.
Does Dallas?
No,
he didn't
no.
do all Westerns. The Quiet Man, that was a John Ford movie also.
Oh, that's
Ford
a good
Apache.
Irish movie. Good Irish movie, The Quiet Man.
That's a pretty good movie. That's actually not a bad movie. Mm-hmm. I like that movie. And, he had like John Wayne and Henry Fonda, Maureen O'Hara, and James Stewart. All those, you know, the original, the era of the Western that came on.
He was known as a man's director.
John Wayne is the most famous, though, right?
John Wayne is the most famous person to come out of that Western era and all the way up till True Grit, which you may have seen.
Oh, I've seen True Grit. What about Buck Rogers?
Buck Rogers?
You mean Roy Rogers?
No, isn't there a cowboy named Buck Rogers?
No, he lived in the
Buck
outer
Rogers
space.
Buck Rogers was a character in space.
Space cowboy.
Now, there was Roy Rogers.
That's pretty good.
Who was a restaurateur.
Yeah, he was another one that was he was a dandy, right?
He was a dandy,
like Gene Autry.
There's a real guy named Roy?
Yeah.
Roy Rogers
was like you know, the mouse at Chuck E. Cheese or the clown at McDonald's.
No, he was real. No. He was a
Roy
guy.
Roy Rogers was real, and his horse was named Trigger.
And
there was a real Trigger.
Yeah, and he was married to Dale Evans.
I really thought that was just some sort of marketing ploy.
No, he used to do the commercials.
Really?
Yeah.
Is this Gene Autry right here?
No, this is Roy Rogers.
Okay, but it's Gene Autry's song, isn't it?
No, it's Roy's song.
Okay.
Happy trails to you,
man.
Yeah.
And here's the thing.
Did he have a fixin' bar in his movies?
I don't like my cowboys clean shaven. I don't like them clean shaven. I like them dirty from the trail.
Yeah, you know.
That's what
you
I like. Hardwood floors.
Yeah.
Yeah, shaved all over.
We've talked about this before.
I mean, really.
I mean, how dirty? Do you want him to look like Gabby Hayes? Like a long beard?
Show Oscar. I'm going to show Oscar the picture here.
You want a plane to land on him?
And I want to ask you. Oscar, don't you think that guy is just too scrubbed?
Oh, no. Yeah, it's not like he... That guy's Roy Rogers?
That's Roy Rogers, where the sandwiches
came from.
Maybe
he had to shave because it was just it was something he had to do for his restaurants, right?
Well,
he can't walk out there with all the hair.
He made movies, but his movies were all Gene Autry's movies and Roy Rogers movies. They fought like girls. They had like little slap fights. This is Gene Autry right here. Yeah. Now listen to this voice.
But do you recall that I?
And also, he was a slightly overweight cowboy, and I didn't like that. And he was overweight.
He was in the tight shirt squad.
Yeah, he was in the tight shirt squad, and he was overweight in that. Absolutely not like a big, you know, Steven Seagal get fat guy. He was overweight like
Boss
somebody
Hogg?
That. He was just overweight in a soft way.
Doughy. He never really lived out on the trail.
And he never really got in a fight and any of that stuff. And now, Roy Rogers was not fat. Roy Rogers was not fat. He was a little better at the Western fighting. Now, John Wayne, he was a little fat, but he was tough.
Oh, big. He was tall, too. I mean, he was like a wall.
And then the natural evolution from that would have gone, I would think, to Clint Eastwood. He was the heir apparent.
Yeah.
And High Plains
Dirty
Drifter,
Harry.
And The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. Then it moved into Dirty Harry. And Clint Eastwood was the long, lean, dirty, grizzled cowboy from the frontier.
Go
and
ahead.
That was, that's
Make
when,
my day, punk.
That's it. That's
and now
it.
It's
There's
come
your...
back because our leading Western star is, of course, Melissa McCarthy.
You yes. calling me chicken?
Right. And then they started making Westerns with, like, Sharon Stone as one of the bad guys. And I'm like, I'm out. Thank
oh,
you.
Oh, that was another Gene Hackman joint. He doesn't say no to anything.
The last great Western made in the United States of America, in my humble opinion, was a movie called Silverado.
I agree. Mm. And that's one of my dad's favorites.
Or Back to the Future 3.
Three Amigos.
Or Three Amigos.
Well, everybody's got an opinion. Let's take a break, shall we? That was a great discussion.
Time already?
Yeah. Thank you. All right, we'll take a break.
Bye,
when we come
little
back,
buttercup.
What Speaking a great of tough movie. Guys, we had our resident tough guy, Rob Spiewak, go into the arena over the weekend, and God knows how it went, but Rob had to get a car.
Yes.
I was in the market for an automobile, and I was told yesterday that that was successful, that they were successful. We will hear all about Rob's weekend when we come back. You are listening to the Mike O'Bara Show, everybody. Hi to Roy. Hi to Trigger.
This week on AmeriCast, Jim Amato, ex-CBS employee, asked to leave in 2008. Similar story to some boys we know. Find out why it's taken him so long to become a fan of TMOS. He just started listening 2 years ago.
Those guys put me in the best mood every day going into work. It's made me a little bit more successful and productive. And just having that humor and laughter every day has helped me out. And if we all had that humor every day, I think this world will be a better place.
Download the show from the TMOS app now and hear more about Jim, the Rob and Joe Show, and the Tony Perkins Show. All the fun on More Broadcasting.
That's nice. What a sweet thing to say.
The sweetest endorsement.
Mm-hmm. Love to hear that on a Monday. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by White Noise. Guess what, folks? The best just got better. Say hello to the latest update of White Noise. White Noise is the extremely popular app that helps millions of people sleep better. So proud of our friend Todd Moore with this app. It really is a terrific thing that he's done. This update is free, and you can download it today from iTunes or Google Play. Now, White Noise now has tons of new features and capabilities that allow you to share your audio experiences with the entire White Noise community. So let me get this right, Oscar. So if somebody wants to do, somebody records something that they have that they said, man, I put this on my phone and it is the greatest sleeping sound I've ever heard. They can share it with the White Noise community.
They can do
right?
that. For example, they had an Air Force pilot upload a sound because he was so used to that calming sound of that jet
the
engine.
Drone of the plane.
Yes. That either he recorded it, he looped it with that software, and then now he sleeps with it because he loved that noise. He took it with him and shared it with the world.
Yeah.
That is absolutely incredible. Imagine using your phone to record your favorite sounds, perfectly loop them, and share them with the world so we can all sleep better. Now you can. Be the first to put the unique sound of your world on the White Noise map. After 8 years of development, this is the best White Noise ever. Download White Noise for free by TM Soft from iTunes or Google Play. Create an awesome recording and upload it to the White Noise market for the entire world to enjoy. And don't forget to give it a 5-star review to show your support for TMOS, TM Soft, and Tomo, our good friend Todd Moore. Sleep better with white noise. Try that out today. That's cool. Todd's always thinking. Really, really appreciate it.
Yeah, so there's got to be something around your house that you love. Maybe your air conditioner or your fan has a unique sound to it. You can just take it with you.
I know what it is. I know it. It's the sound of Frankie and his plaintive wail when we sequester him in the laundry room when he doesn't poop at night.
That would be good. And you know, you could actually mix that.
Help me. I didn't want to poop inside. I want you two to go to sleep so I can poop on your new floor.
You could mix that if you wanted to be like a DJ and do part that and part of Beluga's claws on the new floor.
Is he pooping Beluga's and peeing claws on your floor still?
No, he is not one time because we admire him. If he doesn't poop outside, he stays in his little sequestered room and we don't let him out. And we go all night. If he has not done it, he doesn't get to go back in the
good
living.
Man.
If he poops, he's Frankie doesn't shed at all. So Frankie is tiny and gets to get up on the bed, crawl up, get a little pet from me, get a little pet from Carla, go down by the front of the bed, and that's his night. So he has a totally better experience if he manages to do it.
Tough
but I
love.
Also think digestively, Frankie might be a little more challenged than Beluga. Beluga poops like a homeless man. It's true.
It's amazing, isn't it?
When I say homeless man, it's like I have had the pleasure of experiencing homeless man poo on a sidewalk in the nation's capital. And so when Beluga poops on the sidewalk, it reminds me of it's almost fully human size. Yeah. That's how much poo he has.
Coils.
Like, is there a vagrant around? What happened?
Someone got kicked out. Someone got kicked out of the house.
Yeah, you would see, if I left it there, like on the street here in Cocoonville, somebody would walk around and go, there's been a burglary. Anyway.
And he had to go.
You are in the market for an automobile. We were discussing cars last week.
Yeah, he took like a $4,000 hit last week.
That's right.
Remember that?
Thinking about that.
I'm going to give him a $4,000 hit to the face.
Rob came in and was talking about how much he got for his car, taking it over to CarMax, and then Oscar told him he could have gotten like $4,000 more.
And
he's
really
lying.
I didn't know. I didn't give him enough context because during our winter vacation when I went to Los Angeles,
yes,
I did the CarMax dance with my brother-in-law's vehicle, similar type of vehicle. We took it in. It was over 10 years old. And it had over 100,000+ miles, and they have a policy that it doesn't matter what type of vehicle you have. That if you're past that threshold, they have a flat rate that they give you.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
So, to give Rob some context is, while he took in a Tahoe, my brother took in a Porsche Cayenne, right?
That
had but you have a Porsche and an American-made Chevy, and they offered him the same amount of money. It is a flat rate, so you're not really getting over on the man. That's what they give you, and you can take.
No,
it or
it's
leave
understandable,
it.
But also as we said before. The car was in desperate need of repair.
So you say.
Well, why the heck?
Are you a mechanic, sir?
When the mechanic shows you metal on
listening.
Metal on
I'm
the brakes.
I'm enjoying this. I'm just listening to this.
When
this
the transmission
brakes don't cost that much money compared
to
a new car.
I know exactly how much brakes cost because they told me.
Have you ever changed? They told you. I've changed brakes, man.
Oh, God, you're fantastic.
Yes.
Where did you find time to do it when you got your MBA?
I did it before my MBA.
Oh, of course. Yes. That's great.
Yes.
Okay.
So when they tell you, sometimes they're trying to scare you. Did you get 3 quotes and compare them?
Yes, I did. Here's the quote.
Actually,
go to hell.
Now, calm down. Calm down. We have tape. We have tape of Oscar Santana after he did his own brakes, and he was living in Glover Park at the time, and he took the car down Wisconsin Avenue to M Street.
Yeah.
Worked great.
It was dicey. I'm not going to lie.
It was
time to get rid of the car. So
the thing about CarMax is that this is, and listen, this is a theme of the show. This is caveat emptor. Buyer beware. You are going to get things done in America, conveniently, quickly, and hassle-free, but you, make no mistake, will pay a premium. If you choose to do things, whether it be getting a home project done or getting something sold, and you choose to take months, not a weekend, to go do it and do it diligently, you will ultimately probably make a few more dollars.
Sure.
Not a lot, but a few more dollars. And the thing, there is a massive business model in the United States. CarMax has it. I had the people from the electrician's office.
Mr. Sparky.
Mr. Sparky. Where the convenience, you could get it done cheaper, but we'll do it today. We'll send somebody out there and
for example,
get
when
it done
I, when
today.
I took my old vehicle into CarMax, right? I cleaned it up, detailed it, Went in, looked brand new. Everything was fixed.
I've done it.
And they said, that's the rude move. They don't care about how clean it is.
Well, again, I don't know. This is new to me, right?
So, like the English language.
This is 4 years ago. Always learning. And I brought it in. They're like, we'll give you $16,000 for it. And I said, look, the blue book is $25,000. They're like, $16,000 today. We're going to have to find the right buyer because it's souped up. We don't really have that many buyers out here.
We don't have the aftermarket.
Yeah, and I was like,
they got a book about this thick. For every counterpoint,
yada, blue book.
And their model is they're gonna buy it, but they're gonna buy it for the least amount of money you can get.
I sold it,
and they're gonna give you a draft that has 10 business days before it closes.
Mike, it took 4 months. I sold it for $21,000. Was it worth the extra? I guess five K. Yes, in my eyes, because that's a lot of money for me, right?
Mm-hmm. Now, the question I would have, you were going to go buy a car. You traded your other car in for a new one, right?
Exactly. And here's
Let me ask my question.
All right.
Was there any desire on your part to trade both your vehicles at the same time get a bigger discount, or did you just want the cash?
Just wanted the cash for the Tahoe. Because the Tahoe was literally on its last legs. Mm-hmm. Now, the Chrysler was in good shape.
Great shape.
And it was...
But you really... I hate to be a nudge here, but you're not answering my question. Was the thought process that you could take both cars and trade them and get a lower payment and maybe more car on... You know, on the next car you were going to get. If you just wanted the cash, that I understand that completely. I've been there.
Essentially, yes, because the cash that we got for the Tahoe was earmarked for the down payment on the new car. So we had the cash for it. So it wasn't going to be a trade.
But
we wanted to get rid of it soon.
So you didn't trade a car on the new one?
We did. We traded the Chrysler. 2 weeks ago, we had a Tahoe and a Chrysler. Now we have neither.
Though the money that... So I think what Mike's getting at, and maybe this is something you didn't know, and maybe we could educate our audience. You could hypothetically take the trade-in money you can get, whether it's one car or two cars, and apply it towards the down payment.
I understand.
Okay.
Yeah. But
see,
we wanted to
get
rid of it.
Rob, you know this is an area where I have a little bit of knowledge.
You have bought a car in the past, as I recall.
My point being, and incidentally, they usually make it up in another area, so you're never.
They always do.
You're never going to get ahead. But my point would be this: that amount of money, you got $2,000 for your Tahoe,
right?
You could have probably gotten at least $3,000 if you use that on a trade for another car.
True enough. Because a flat fee wouldn't be applied to that vehicle the way they do a CarMax.
But here is the thing that CarMax helped us out, is we had CarMax give us an offer on the Chrysler and used that to leverage the trade-in on the Chrysler.
Yeah, but they gave you a low offer. How do you use a low offer to leverage?
Because the original offer they gave us for the trade-in at the dealership was lower.
Oh, they gave you a trade-in offer.
It was even lower.
It was lower.
Whoa.
And we got them to beat what CarMax offered
us.
So that was good.
All right.
Okay. And I think the other thing that we're...
So they beat a low price.
To make it a reasonable price.
Okay, just want to make sure.
Something else is going to get beat in a second.
I want to hear the story. I know you went out there. Did you go to the Kia dealership?
Went to the Kia dealership out there near where I live, and they have a Chrysler, and it's adjacent to the Kia and the Subaru dealership. We had a great sales lady who was very and recommended. You ever hear that word? Like, I recommend you shut up. Now, the lady was extraordinarily patient.
Oscar, Rob sent me a picture of the sales lady they dealt with.
Yeah.
And this is just for Oscar.
Mm.
Oscar, the sales lady that waited on Rob when he went to the dealership looks exactly like the prosecutor in The Night Of, the lady that deals with John Turturro. You know the one I'm
talking about? I would have to walk out of the dealership.
How are you, John? Here's a tailor. Get something to wear. He's very reasonable. Rob, you have to watch The Night Of.
Okay.
Just to see the prosecutor. She's not on all the time. She hits and misses, but oh my God. If you were sitting across from her and she was your prosecutor, you'd be Pupaggio on your Pantaggio.
So, Carrie goes between 100 miles an hour and being in park when we do something like this. She was go, 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 let's get a car. No, 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 we can't do it. Go, 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 let's do it. Let's not do it. So
what do you want to do? What does Rob want to do?
Rob wants Carrie to be happy.
Aww,
because happy wife, happy life.
That's beautiful. Cool. That's beautiful. Can you stop there? We haven't gotten to the dealership yet.
No, of course,
right?
We can stop right there. It's a good place.
Because did you bring the lovely lady along to the dealership?
I did.
That's always fun.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've been there, too. That should be a lot of fun. Probably should. Get that misogyny alarm ready when we come back. Should be fun. We'll take a break, and Rob buys a car.
Car.
The Mary Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. There is a home burglary every 13 seconds. That's more than four per minute. Down here in Southwest Florida, just watching the local news, I can tell you they have a field day here during the summertime, and you never know what's going to happen. Most of these robberies happen, these burglaries, they happen in broad daylight. They usually start with the crook ringing your doorbell to make sure that you're not at home. Then they break in. Bad people, just in desperate situations, getting ready to do desperate things. The Ring Video Doorbell has been proven to stop burglaries before they happen by allowing you to see and speak to anyone approaching your door just by using your smartphone. Now Ring is using their advanced motion detection technology to protect your entire property with the Ring of Security Kit. Now, the kit comes with the Ring doorbell, which I've used. It goes right on your front door. They've got a Ring stick-up cam that's simple to use, wireless, weatherproof. It's an HD camera, and it keeps an eye on other parts of your property. The Ring video doorbell and the stick-up cam both install in minutes. Right now, for a limited time, our listeners can get $50 off the Ring of Security Kit. That is the lowest price anywhere. Just go to ring.com/TMOS right now. Join the hundreds of thousands who protect their home with Ring. Go to ring.com/TMOS for $50 off. That's ring.com/TMOS. And we thank you in advance for your purchase. It's a great product.
Good stuff.
And we love having them on. When we last checked in, Rob was going back and forth with his lovely bride, Carrie.
Mm-hmm.
Carrie, she of the long conversations.
Yes.
And we were determining whether we were going to get an automobile. And you're taking
automobile?
You're taking your Chrysler to trade it.
Exactly.
Right?
And the thing is that the Chrysler was solid as a rock, just passed state inspection, but it does have 180,000 miles on it.
Oh, no.
And I've been driving it a lot. And you know what I don't want is I don't want to still have it when it has, you know what you need? You need like about $1,800 work on it to keep it
that
going.
You know what? I used to think the same thing as far as vehicles are concerned, but that's the mentality of our parents' car, Rob.
Is it?
Because because right now, think about it. The cars we have today can easily go, I would say, 250,000, 300,000 miles simply because of the way they're built.
That's
true.
So.
Yes.
I hope so. My BMW, which was at that point built in
2001, went to 260, and I was able to sell it then.
That must be fantastic.
I'm looking forward to keeping, I'm watching the miles mount up, back in the day when, Tuesday was car buying day.
Yes.
I am truly looking forward. You call me on it, I'll let you know. When I trade in my SUV down here, then you can bust my balls. But I'm telling, I want to get this one up over 150,000 miles.
Well, what was the benchmark? When I was a kid, my dad would say, "Okay, we're getting to 100,000 miles."
100,000 used to be the benchmark.
Right?
Yeah.
That was like, we have to sell the car. We have to sell the car.
When I was working on the old Don and Mike show, my benchmark for, I have it written down. I actually put it in my phone.
Really?
For selling a car. Yep, there it is. 2,800 miles.
Well, I remember sometimes it was a coin flip. It was wash it or sell it.
Yeah.
I don't want to go through the hassle of waiting in a line, vacuuming.
Robbie, that gas, the special gas, let's just get a new one.
By the way, photographic memories on the cars that I've purchased over the years. I remember them more than people. I mean, because the
wives,
I guess
more than
more,
wives,
more than wives.
Came in second, Oscar.
To be honest with you, much like wives, I don't know where some of those cars are now.
Was the first? I guess the sweetest experience you had buying a car.
And with the wife.
That was easy. I will give you the sweetest. I will give them all to you. Okay, the first car I ever got. Took my father's Satellite Sebring with my dad into JKJ Chevrolet's used car department in Tyson's Corner, Virginia.
Just kidding, Chevrolet?
Yes. We got
Coons family. Yeah. Power players. Used to work for them.
Didn't get a Chevy, though. Left the Satellite Sebring running because my father and I were worried that if we turned it off, we wouldn't be able to get it started.
Was that the green one?
Yes, that was green.
Mm-hmm.
It was green and had a big V8 engine. My dad and I walked in, made a deal. Dad helped me with it. God bless him. God rest his soul. And I purchased my first real car, all mine, for a Ford Fiesta.
Oh,
the small Ford Fiesta.
That to Dr. Salsa.
Yeah. Yeah, Dr. Salsa should know that one. The Ford Fiesta.
Not just a party on your Camino, a party in your pants.
That's right.
The Ford Fiesta was traded shortly thereafter for when I was working down at WYRE in Annapolis. I traded that at Coons Toyota in Annapolis, and I traded it for a Toyota Starlet.
Oh, I gotta look that up.
When the Tercel is a little too showy. Yeah. When you don't want to flaunt it, you go Starlet.
Got the Starlet. The Starlet was traded for a Mitsubishi Cordia Turbo.
No, what That's about nice. The Jeep?
So you're making some money then.
What about the
Joe,
Jeep?
Jeep comes much later.
Much later.
Wow. So you had a Turbo before.
You left out a bunch of stuff.
Oh, sorry.
The Mitsubishi Cordia Turbo was traded for the first really nice car I ever got, an Acura Legend.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Mike, this is starting to sound like the first part of the New Testament, so I would like from now on for you to say, the Mitsubishi begat an Acura Coupe. Okay. The Acura Coupe begat.
Okay. The Acura Legend Coupe begat the first real expensive sports car I ever bought.
Oh, here we go.
Which was the Mitsubishi 3000 VR4.
Yeah, that's a beautiful
twin turbo.
To this day, it's a collector's item.
Were you in mornings then? I'm trying to put it in context with your career.
Yes. I don't know. Because
in the Acura Legend, you had the Ildo day in the front grill.
Okay. Okay. So you're in morning drive.
I was living in Annapolis, but I was doing mornings in Major Market.
It's like being on Columbo.
I know.
That and then
remember the Ildo day? Was that between?
I got one more question, sir, about the bulldog. Then there was a Jeep. I had a Jeep for a while. Traded,
But the Jeep wasn't your primary driver, was it? Because that was just summertime.
Oh, that was your fun car.
I don't think I had two.
Oh, that's when you know you have wealth.
I believe that the Mitsubishi VR4 was traded right after a new contract when I was blessed to purchase a Mercedes SL.
Oh, that's right. With a special guest.
Oscar was asking, and we'll stop there because Oscar was saying what was the greatest experience. It was the biggest thrill of my life, driving off the lot with that and being in that car, which was a me car. And I was a young guy, and it was a thrill, and it was exciting.
It was
And I'll
gorgeous.
Never forget it. Then shortly thereafter, I passed an 18-wheeler, and he got in front of me again and threw a pipe at me, almost beheaded me. So that's it. But anyway, we're not talking about my cars now. We're talking about you.
Yes.
You get out there to the dealership, and you're with your bride. And you woke up Sunday. Was this the plan? You were going to go
out
and buy
a car? The plan was
that
we were going to test drive it. We had looked at it. We had crunched some numbers. We had looked at a lot of cars. But Carrie had been eyeing this Kia Soul for over a month, just the way it looks. She's been researching it. We talked to people that own them. And I
was lots of dogs back then.
And I was going to say, you know what? If she's still into it after a month, then it's probably a good
idea. You're a great husband.
But I didn't pressure her to not get it. I just wanted to make sure she was
still
into it. She
definitely wanted it.
So after about a month, we go to drive
it. You're going to be riding the Buick to work. Is that it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, so that's going to be your car.
Yeah. And it's actually, I drove it in today. It's great. I love it.
Okay. Good. You're enjoying it?
But it is the first time in my life that there is not an 8-cylinder engine in my family, which is freaking me out.
Woe is me.
That's the reality of work.
And that's one of the another reason that I was leaning towards getting rid of the Chrysler is it does drink a lot of gas.
And the way you drive, you really don't need an 8-cylinder.
Mm-hmm. That's true. I don't even know what that means.
Do you have a 6 in the one that you're in?
The big 6.
Oh, the big 6. That'll eat as much gas.
It's not 8.
You.
Thanks. So, I really don't even have anything to say to him anymore. You know, he makes me so tired sometimes. Oscar makes me feel tired all over. But the we went in, and the sales lady was very, very kind, and we looked through some stuff, did a test drive, and here I think is where we got to it, is we didn't show any urgency to a point where I said, you know what, it's almost time to go pick up Julia at work.
Oh,
I think we're going to go
nice
pick up Julia, maybe get some lunch, and then how late are you here? And she said, till 5. I said, okay, we'll be back, I think. And so we came back, and it's amazing how the numbers changed during the 90 minutes we were gone.
Oh, nice.
And so they gave us
it's a cool move. It's a cool move to walk out of the dealership.
They gave us a great trade-in, and also I'll show all my cards now. The guy that I used to do the car infomercial with at WJFK on Saturday mornings is currently with Kia.
Oh.
So every time they offered me something, I was able to text him and say, is this on the level? Is the financing straight? All this stuff.
Oh, he helped walk you through it.
Yeah, he was great. He said the rebates they gave us were outstanding.
Oh, good man.
And so I'm very, very happy with the deal.
Is it a brand new shiny car?
Well, not brand new. It has 14 miles on it.
Well, that's brand
I
new.
I know. I'm kidding. It was a joke.
So it's a brand new.
And it has
Waka, Waka, Waka.
Okay, yeah, I'll take some notes from Oscar. Then we'll be funny.
But you know, Oscar, do you hear his voice, though?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's Carrie's car.
Yeah, it's so sad.
He has no joy
it's
for this.
It's so sad.
No, there here no is some joy.
He is guys, being the good husband.
I just spent all our savings and bought a brand new car for her.
Right. She is driving around today.
Yeah. Brand new
in
car.
In a brand new automobile. You are in an inherited Buick.
And that might smell like her dad still.
You have to be owned.
Oh, it'll smell like me soon.
It's not joyful. It's not as joyful.
Every time you jump in that thing, you're remembering.
Are you going to get a chance to take the little one to work occasionally or what?
I think so. Maybe, especially in snow and stuff.
If she lets him.
Front wheel drive and all that.
How do you fit into the car? It's pretty small.
I have to enter in shifts. there is a sunroof. That's helpful. No, it's remarkably, it is one of those boxy cars.
Yeah.
Like a Scion almost, if you were familiar with the look. It's remarkably roomy in the front seat. The back seat is
it's a non-issue. Kia Soul.
Yeah. It's the one with the hamsters.
I can't do. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. They got them all over the dealership.
And that's a four cylinder, right?
A four cylinder, but we got the bigger of the two engines. Yeah. And Carrie wanted what was very nice. Carrie got everything
what
she wanted.
What did you want?
I wanted Carrie to be happy.
Aww.
And I wanted the deal to be done because you know what? It was going to start to drag on and drag
and
on and drag
more
on.
Drama.
More
but
drama.
But I feel like you're put upon. I feel like you're telling this story with a great deal of low energy and either that's just Monday Rob or I don't.
That I mean, is you're not like, fair,
yeah,
Mike.
We got the car. It's beautiful. You got a great rebate. Carrie got the car. Carrie got the car. Is that Oscar wearing you out, or did you?
No,
did the
it
process
is. It is the process. It is a process because you know what?
You said something to me like when you texted me that you know just the way you want to spend a Sunday. You didn't really enjoy the day.
No, and it is a whole Sunday. It is a whole day to make it happen. Even after you've spent time at the dealership, you know, doing all sorts of pre work and all that.
Yeah, getting online and finding out what the real cost of the car is.
She got everything she wanted on the car. We were about $10 less than we wanted to be at the payment. Which is great. So I was happy.
You have your inside man. At any point, the fact that you'd walk away and come back fresh is awesome because you could get
to a great move.
You get a point where you're worn down and they're banking on this. You know how they switch people in and out of your deal?
Yeah.
But they switch people in and out because they want fresh people in there to wear you down.
They did it to me when I bought my Mitsubishi way, way back when. They put me on four. Count them.
Yeah.
Four because they wanted. We'd made the deal. They wanted $450 extra bucks. On the price of the car. They wanted it, and they were trying it anyway. At the end, when I finally got into the last business manager's office, he said, got to talk to you about this $450 bucks. I took the keys, and I threw them at his chest. They bounced off the chest. I made a scene. They got the owner of the dealership driving in. The owner of the dealership took me over to one of those little trailers where they sell the used cars.
Sure. Come on
here. And I was pitching. I was done. I was so done. He said, what can we do to make this right? I said, sell me the car for the original price you said you were going to sell it to me and stop dicking me around over this $450. He said, done, and $200 off the car for your hassle. He knew that they had stepped on it. Mm. I was hot. I was crazy, crazy hot. Because it's a slimy, sleazy.
It is a bad business.
Way of dealing
with
people.
But the tactic that Rob took, to
it was
credit.
Walking away is brilliant.
That is awesome because you get to go see Julia, get an Italian ice, hang out, think about it, come back fresh.
I just am not feeling the joy that...
Oh, because it wasn't for him.
Right now, he's been driving cars for a very long time, whether they're used, whatever, that are his vehicles.
Yeah.
He's been driving the Caprice Classic. Then he got the car he loved, which was that Chrysler. He loved that car.
I did.
And that now he's without either car that he really loved.
You know what?
You don't love either car, do you?
I'm getting a new stereo put in to the Chrysler. I'm not the Chrysler.
What are you, 16?
Well, no, because right now, because it was an older gentleman's automobile, there is no way to listen to anything good in the car.
You're the Ghost Rider.
So I'm getting a new stereo put in on Thursday, and then I won't have to listen to music on the way to work like this, with my phone on my flipping chest, so I can hear the podcast.
Let's turn on the Buick's stereo here and see what...
That's it! You have the same model.
That's got good fidelity. That's good. That's wonderful. That's good.
Yeah. Hit the loudness button.
You want some hi-fi.
So I want some high fidelity. Then I think I will begin to love this automobile because it is pristine.
Ice-cool AC.
Oh, the first thing I tested. Got to be cold. And so, it'll take a little getting used to. For example, I didn't even put the fast pass for the toll road up until yesterday.
Whoa.
And so, you know, now I don't have to hold it up when I drive through anymore. So I'm getting used to it. And Carrie gets a beautiful car for her 20th
anniversary. Can we tint the windows and throw rims on that thing?
Yeah, you can.
Really?
Just throw rims at it. Don't put them on. Just throw them, roll them, actually.
We should make this Buick the best Buick out there.
I would love to see some neon under it. And the ability to raise it and lower it.
Go ahead, Mr. Stewart. Fire up your new stereo there.
If I had my way, I'd always stay in Florida.
Hey, it's Gary Stein. Mike, I did the Tony Perkins show.
That's right. He was great on it.
At 7:30 in the morning, Saturday morning. That's when they recorded. And it was so funny because I got to see Gary Stein at his Gary Steiniest, where... he's yelling at Rofo from the television because he's in New Jersey. And Rofo's here. I don't know how he got here so early, by the way.
He slept here.
He probably did.
Rofo's got a work ethic. Rofo's got a work ethic. Yeah. You got to give him credit for that.
And I walked in and I walked back out. I was like, Gary can be really bitchy in the morning. And then I walked back in.
Haven't we always speculated that Gary of those two, Tony, well, Tony's my lifelong friend.
Yeah.
But haven't we always speculated that, when I get the call, Tony and Gary want to have a meeting, and I go, what does Gary want now? That's why the whole thing.
Buy a T-shirt.
By the way, did I tell you, an hour after I got out of surgery, it's Gary Stein. Can you come back and do Bill Clinton? I said, just had major surgery. I'm sorry, I can't. Nothing. No response. Nada. Niente. Thanks, Gare.
So I love Gary, but I called him out on the show. I said, Gary, you're quite the taskmaster, right?
Yeah. Well, Gary was a high-level producer for network television, so he doesn't suffer anything.
But poor Rofo in his toddler outfit that he wears in the morning.
Oh, was he wearing horizontal stripes again with a too tight T-shirt, for God's sake? Yeah.
Comes in looking like Spanky on the Little Rascals.
God almighty. Does that boy need a makeover? Does that just buy him like 8 black shirts? That's all. God
and skinny
almighty.
Jeans.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
Felt like his father was yelling at him.
I'm sorry. I'm up here at 5:30. I know you wanted me to hear me at 5:15, but I'm sorry, Gary.
You don't understand. Come on now. I want my combs. Send me my combs. Help me. Thank you. Mike, I need you to do Bill Clinton, okay? It's the convention.
Sorry, I just had major surgery. Okay.
And on to the next thing. All right. Thank you.
Yeah. He was booking you like he was booking Good Morning America.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know? No, it's just when I wasn't available, that was kind of it. You know, you would think, sorry, I forgot about that. Good, Godspeed, quick recovery. No, radio silent.
Beep. Maybe card might be in the mail. Check the mail.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Rob, I think we can sum this up.
Yes.
You successfully have your new automobiles in the driveway.
Yes.
But there is very little joy in you for this.
He's happy for her, but not for him.
No,
you're happy
and
for her.
I benefit very little from this.
Aww.
There you go. You benefit very little.
However, we have a few road trips coming up that we will benefit because it's got all the bells and whistles. And you know what? Maybe once in a million years, she'll drive somewhere.
Okay, so I got that right away.
Mm-hmm.
When you take the family road trips, will you be in her car?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It's got all the neat stuff in it.
What are the bells and whistles that come in a Kia?
Bells and whistles. It's got a double sunroof, so it's essentially
seats.
like a convertible. Standard glove compartment, AM radio.
Glass windows.
Roll-up windows.
Radial tires.
No, it's got the nav system with the big color screen, the backup system.
Ooh, pretty.
And the thing that Carrie was most excited about, mood lighting. So when you're playing your music... there's actually colored rings around the speakers in the door.
Those hamsters.
Yeah, man.
There you go.
Yeah, man.
So there's should have come down here, though. Should have come down here to South Florida.
It would have been huge.
He might have eyeballed Carrie and been like, your car's free, y'all.
How would you like to be in a commercial?
That guy. I don't know why he does this, but the guy buys millions of dollars of advertising time, and he will come on periodically, and he will simply talk about an Italian restaurant he went to. And it's obvious that he went and he said, hey, this is great.
What?
I'm going to put you on my next commercial. And he'll sit there and he goes, hey, Caroline, we got some great deals. Please come in. Hey, you go to Alberto's the other night? Yeah, Alberto's absolutely the best. Go to Alberto. That's some good Italian food, boy. So, I thought I was in New York. It's huge.
He thinks he's Regis.
Yeah, he thinks he's Regis.
Doing like a restaurant thing.
Doing things for people.
The Zito's afterwards. Huge.
Well, congratulations, Zito. Rob.
Thank you.
One word association. Experience on the weekend. What word would you use?
Busy.
We'll take a break.
Can we'll I use a second back. Word?
Yeah, sure.
Flippin' busy.
We will take a break. Come back with news you may not need right here on the Mike O'Mara Show. Hey, a special announcement for all of my D.C. area listeners. If you're heading down to the beach, make sure to check out the Mike O'Mara Show. We can be heard Monday through Friday on 97.1 The Wave, your beach station.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. If you want to make the most of your summer, you need quality sleep, and I know how to do it. Get yourself a Sleep Number bed. You simply can't afford a mediocre night's sleep, but you can afford a Sleep Number bed. And I will tell you about a Sleep Number bed. When you make that investment, it lasts and lasts and lasts and lasts. Try that with a regular bed. Won't happen. Just go to a Sleep Number store so you can see and feel how a Sleep Number mattress adjusts on each side for firmness and support. It's perfect for couples. And really, if you're in the market, I urge you to get out there to a Sleep Number store. There's usually one near everybody. And you can go out, lie on the thing, try the different firmnesses with the remote control that they give you. And it's fascinating how you do this. And then once you get it, you can tweak it constantly so you optimize your sleep. Inside each of these beds, they also have optional Sleep IQ technology that tracks your sleep so you know what to adjust to sleep better. My Sleep Number setting's an 85, Carla's is a 65, and last night my Sleep Number score again was a 95. 8 hours Woo! Of blissful sleep,
Atta
and
boy.
I feel great. The Queen Sleep Number mattress with Sleep IQ starts at only $1,999. I'm sorry, I'll check that again. $1,099.98. It's a great value. No better sleep. Sleep Number beds and Sleep IQ are only available at any of the 475 Sleep Number stores nationwide. Find one near you by calling 800-511-0061. And don't forget to offer the salesperson some chewing gum. Now, that's a real stretch now, Rob, where you're having them do that.
But, well, I think it's nice. And who knows? Maybe make them smile. Nice to make someone's day.
That's fine. I'll just settle with them telling them, Mike O'Mara sent you.
News.
Men and women use Tinder very, very differently. And it turns out that that leads to different results. It makes men happy, and it makes women miserable.
Aw, poor women.
A new study found that Tinder is tough on women because it's giving them a weird sense of rejection that they never had to deal with in old-fashioned dating. Here's how it goes. The main reason is that men will swipe right on lots and lots and lots of different profiles, and 33% of them say that they swipe right on almost every woman. Women don't do that at all.
Yeah, I'll do her.
93% of them only swipe right on guys they're actually attracted to. That means when women get a Tinder match, they actually want to see where it goes, but when guys get a match, it might just be an ego boost because there's a decent chance they weren't that attracted to the woman they swiped right on. This is so male-female.
It is.
This is so spot on.
just on women, the tone.
The fringe, yeah. Women are 3 times more likely than men to actually send a message after they match with someone, but only 42% of those messages get responses. It's because women are nicer than men, period. That's the way it is. That means they're getting rejected the majority of the time, which really stings. And even if the guy does write back, only about 20% of those conversations lead to them exchanging numbers or going out, which is even more rejection. So there you are, Tinder. Guys are digging it. Women, not so much.
I know, I know a guy that does exactly that. It's just a numbers game for him, right?
Yeah.
And I haven't seen him in about 3 or 4 years. But he asks this of every woman he matches with after swiping right every woman. And he knows the ones.
Are you writing down the question?
Yeah, because I can't even say it.
I'm seeing it unfold.
And, Rob, can you translate it to broadcast?
Well, sort of.
He writes that right off the bat. Let me just say this.
Hold on, I have to.
He writes off the bat, like first message. And then he knows the women that are disgusted by that are not the women he wants to be into, right? The women that answer with a certain flavor are the women that are down, I guess, DTF. Down.
Let me put it to you this way. I think we've almost established it. But remember in the past, we discussed Natalie Wood.
Yes.
And there was certain, there was an aspect about Natalie Wood that Elvis was not fond of.
Right. Yes.
And so,
feminine,
you know,
odor.
Yeah. And so, and then if you add to that the word flavor, let's go.
Boom.
Yeah. So he,
so it's a blatantly, overtly, sexually offensive message.
Yes.
That if it's respected, which it shouldn't be, he knows he's got his gal.
Yeah, I mean, he literally just filters out all the good girls and he gets to the bad girls. Yeah.
All right. Well, he's got his system on Tinder to find his first lady.
Mike, it's that filter is a colander with really big holes.
That's terrific. And Oscar, he's occasionally successful with that?
He's, no, this is something I told him. I said, if this really works the way that you say it works, you should write a book. Like, it really is.
Yeah. Bestseller time. Looking forward to that. That would be great. Donald Trump was late to his rally in Colorado Springs on Friday because he got stuck in an elevator at the Mining Exchange Hotel. He was with nine other people at the time, probably members of his own entourage. The local fire department rescued them by opening the top elevator hatch and lowering a ladder down so everyone could climb out. The owner of the hotel says the elevator did not malfunction. Apparently, they gave Trump's people a key so they could control it themselves, but they messed something up and it triggered a safety feature to immobilize the elevator. Now, speaking of safety, when Trump finally showed up at the rally, he started with a long rant about the same fire department, but he didn't mention anything about the rescue in the elevator. He was upset because the fire marshal was stopping his supporters from coming into the auditorium. The room's capacity was 1,500 people, with 1,000 more in an overflow room with a TV showing the speech. Trump said, quote, "This is why our country doesn't work. We have plenty of space here. We have thousands of beautiful, wonderful, great people outside. And the reason they won't let them in is because they don't know what the hell they're doing. Too bad. What a disgraceful situation." He brought up the fire marshal several times. And at the end of the speech, he said, quote, "He's probably a Democrat, probably a guy that doesn't get it." So apparently, probably under a Trump presidency, fire marshals would allow rooms to be filled like beyond capacity. So we have to look forward to that. The fire marshal later gave an interview to the local news and said, quote, "There are people who aren't very happy with some of the rules and regulations we're required to enforce, but Trump's comment doesn't bother me at all." He said he didn't say whether or not he was a Democrat. So there we go.
He's kind of buried the lead there. Don't you want to see video of Trump climbing a ladder?
Oh, I'd love to see that.
I bet he's not good on a ladder. It's shaky.
Unless it's his ladder, because it's
Paul,
the best.
Help
ladder.
Me up, Paul, please. Help me up right now, okay? Make America great again. Oh, my pants.
My pants.
My Chinese pants. Anyway, it's so adorable how Paris Hilton still thinks she matters. Paris is doing some DJ gigs in Ibiza, and in an interview with a local newspaper, she said she's worried she could be the target of a terrorist attack. Oh, Paris.
Oh, because she's important.
She said, quote,
"The reason the attacks in Nice and Germany are terrible, the reason attacks are, I travel a lot and I get frightened when I think about things like this. I'm constantly moving around from one country to another, and I'm a famous person who could be a definite target for an attack, and that is something that sometimes terrifies me."
But that's not going to stop Paris from doing whatever the F Paris does. She said, quote,
"I always go out alone and without security. I like to go out with my friends and be normal because I want to be like everyone else. I'm not going to give up anything."
Paris Hilton, bravery, everybody.
You know, it took her 3 weeks to realize that when Paris was attacked a few months ago, it wasn't her.
It wasn't her.
That's right. She thought it was her.
Yeah, that's what we call brilliant. Matt Damon is back on top of the box office with a $60 million opening for Jason Bourne. Meanwhile, the new comedy Bad Moms opened in third with $23.4 million. The Emma Roberts thriller Knave.
Roberts saw it.
That pulled in $9 million. Did he like it?
He said, "You know what? It was okay, Dad." And when a 13-year-old tells you a movie's okay,
it sucks. Mm-hmm. Big time.
Burn the prince.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Absolutely. A woman who's in her late 70s went into a Walmart in Wayne, West Virginia on Friday with her two dogs in the car. She left the car running while she went inside so her little pooches could stay cool with the air conditioning. I have seen dogs in cars before, and you go up, and the first thing you check is the automobile running?
Yeah.
If there are doggies in the car, and if it's running, I'm cool with that. But one of the dogs, I don't know how this worked, managed to shift the car into drive.
Whoa!
The car plowed straight into Walmart.
Oh, no.
Then the other dog rolled down one of the windows.
What?
This is like a flipping circus act right
here. That's fantastic.
Fortunately, no one was hurt. The dogs were okay, and there wasn't much damage to the car or the building since the dogs were going really, really slow when they hit it. The woman was able to drive the car home, and she's not going to be facing any charges. So it's a happy ending.
That's good.
That's a big win for that woman, don't you think?
The car was traveling at 5 miles an hour, which is 35 miles an hour to you and me.
In dog speed. Well, and now a little something, something. When you're out chasing Pokemon in Pokemon Go, you need free range of motion, but maybe not this free. This is a 31-year-old guy. His name is Joseph Schweitzer. He was playing Pokemon Go in Blaine, Washington last week. Hello, Mrs. Blaine. He was in Blaine, Washington, and he was playing Pokemon Go bottomless.
Okay.
By the way, this Pokemon Go is bringing out, this is the butterfly net of games.
It
right
is
now.
Butterfly net.
You're
time.
Getting these people from everywhere.
Mike, it's so big that in Virginia, they've opened up some of the public parks at night because people were going after dusk when they're closed.
Yeah.
They had to legislate to actually get these public parks open later at night and have police officers there so people could play this game.
Nutsy.
Your tax dollars at work, and what could possibly go wrong? Someone called the cops when they saw this guy without pants. When they got there, they found Joseph Schweitzer just wearing a shirt, shoes, and a backpack. He told them he wasn't wearing pants because, quote, they were too constricting.
Oh.
Ew. And to prove that he was better without pants, he told cops he just managed to catch 3 Pokemon in front of a motel and Chinese restaurant. How's that when you're eating your Mugu Gai Pan? You see that guy's ding-a-ling bouncing out in front of the store window. Well, they weren't impressed, the cops, but Joseph got very lucky because the person who called the police decided not to press charges for indecent exposure.
That's
He's
nice.
He's a lucky man. The cops just told Joseph to put his pants on. He did, and then he got back to Pokemon hunting. Constricted Pokemon hunting. No word on whether the cute little critters are attracted to nerds with their balls exploded. So that's we're exposed.
Talk about evolve.
I don't know, Mike. I got a poo-poo platter. I looked out. I saw a man Zubat.
Hey, which one did you get? Oh, I got Pikachu and Scrotaroo.
Jigglypuff.
Scrotymon.
I think there is a Squirty Man or
a
Squirtle.
A Squirtle.
Squirtle.
Oh, don't want to see a Squirtle. That's that's not good.
It's between your balls and you know what.
Yeah. Rob brought in his new car today. He brought a new Audio Vault with him, and he put it in the Audio Vault glove compartment of his new automobile, and he will be sharing that with you when we come back on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Tony and Gary.
Hey there, boys and girls. I'm Tony Perkins.
Hi, and I'm Gary Stein.
And we're joined by special guest Oscar Santana.
Salutations. Yeah.
Yes, indeedy. It's the Gary and Tony Morning Show with guest Oscar Santana. This week's show is just like a morning radio show.
Stacks and stacks of wax.
It's the hits, and the hits just keep on coming.
Yes, they do.
Check it out, TonyPerkinsShow.com. Subscribe on iTunes and download the Tony Perkins Show app.
And buy a T-shirt
or two.
The Tony Perkins Show.
He tries.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show.
How dare you?
Summertime, fun time. Beach time, busy time. And summer's flying by. Before you know it, summer's over and you need all kinds of stuff. You know what we need you to do? We need you to remind yourself that the best way to support the Mike O'Mara Show is to buy all the cool stuff you need at Amazon and go through our page. School supplies, new clothes, backpacks, textbooks, all the best gear to make your dorm room the talk of campus. So do it the easy way. Shop at Amazon. They've got everything. And don't waste your last days of summer going from store to store. Use Amazon.com and do it through our portal. You see, when you purchase something through our Amazon link, we get a tidy percentage. Doesn't cost you any extra, and it's the best and easiest way for you to support the show. And I love, 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 love when listeners to this show share with me what they're buying through MikeO'MaraShow.com on Amazon. Remember, if you need it or want it, Amazon has it. Just go to MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon, click the Amazon button on our website, or use the TMOS app and click on the shopping cart. Then shop like you normally would. It's that simple, and with all the time you save, why not hit the pool? Cannonball!
Hey!
Yay! That's good stuff. And really, help us out with Amazon. We really appreciate it. Let's open up the Audio Vault for today, Monday, August 1. 2016, already the beginning of August. Wow.
Mike, the Olympics are just a few days away, and I started this feature on Friday. I hope to continue it. Another Olympic fever story for everyone headed to Rio.
A couple of days ahead of the Summer Olympic Games right now, and another blow to the host country, this time targeting Brazil's waterways. A more than year-long study commissioned by the Associated Press finds Rio's waterways are dirtier than ever. The report finds the waters are contaminated with raw human sewage and dangerous viruses and bacteria. Researchers say 90% of tests showed positive results for viruses. Brazil says it has taken steps to improve the water and prevent illness.
Yeah, imagine if they hadn't taken steps.
Man, who's that anchor? Viruses. Viruses.
That's our buddy Steve Shenavy.
Yes, 90% of you have viruses.
He gets all the raw sewage stories at Channel 5.
I watch that and I see the filth that's in that water, yeah. And I feel for all the people that are going down there. But
imagine
I
living
also
there.
Think, I saw a story today, it looks like maybe, you know, Lauer's down there already. So, you know they're going to go off his schedule because Lauer's there.
Oh, they're not going to cancel them, though. Right. They're probably going to cancel some events.
They might have to.
But they might be able to walk on water.
Yes, thick sewage water.
We shall see. Walk 35 years ago today, Mike, do you know what happened?
Nope.
35 years ago today, August 1st, 1981, there was a television network that launched. There was a rocket launching, and we heard this for the first time.
Ladies and gentlemen, rock and roll.
Nice.
So MTV launched 35 years ago today, and in celebration, MTV is launching MTV Classic. And guess what? They're still not showing videos. They're showing stuff like Beavis and Butthead and Pimp My Ride.
I thought they were going to start showing videos.
They said that with the story that I read, they're going to lean on the classic programming of the 1990s.
I agree with you. I just thought that the real MTV was finally realizing that all they had were the videos.
That was the thing.
Video killed the radio star.
First video ever played on the show. And I stand by the theory that MTV, in its own way, killed music radio because it segmented music and stopped mixing it up.
Oh, yeah.
I used to be on this. It's my track.
Robert Carey bought a car. He has sold it. We'll go far.
So anyway, happy birthday, MTV, owned by CBS, and they can go to hell. Okay. do you remember not Teddy Ballgame, but the other Ted Williams, the man with the golden voice?
Oh, yeah. You mean the guy that was the homeless man?
Homeless guy.
Did the Kraft cheese commercials. Yes.
Well, he is still out and about doing stuff, and he was encountered by one of our listeners named Chris Siegel, and Chris Siegel got him to record something for us.
Ooh. Oh, my. That voice. He's got a great voice. I'd love to hear it.
Chris Siegel, not good on mic technique, but always nice that Ted Williams made a tape for us.
Hey, I'm Ted Williams, the man with the golden voice. I'm with Chris Siegel, man. You know what? I never listen to the TMOS show. What kind of mess is that? I don't listen. Hey, we'll be back with Chris right after these words.
That's awesome. Thank you, man.
Yeah. That's wonderful, Chris.
Poor my technique.
Always nice to be thought of, isn't it?
Hey, I'd like to tell you right now. Thank you.
Well, you know, it's a listener thinking about
it. I love it. Cool. I think it's great.
Meanwhile,
in Kentucky, Mike, two people got high and wanted to find a fishing hole, but instead drove into a beehive. I'm not doing a very good job of describing it, so let's go to the man who owned the property where the beehive was, and he will be able to tell you exactly what happened.
Okay. The first thing I pictured was one of those like giant things in a cartoon hanging from a tree, but these are the wooden beehives that are like...
No, this is, I believe this was a beehive in nature, a huge nest.
Okay, so
like,
out
nest.
In the tree.
Yes. Oh, my God. Here's Gary Lee Anderson of Kentucky.
Gary Lee.
Mike, here's Gary Lee Anderson of Kentucky to tell you more.
Well, I just had got done feeding my chickens, watering them and stuff, and I walked back to my house there to get my phone so I could play a video game on it. And all of a sudden, I heard a big boom. And I looked back out my door, and the electric pole fell, and the lines were falling, and the geotackler's sideways into the fence. And as a guy come out, screaming and squalling and running around about like a chicken with head cut off. But I told him he needed to get out of that water, but say I didn't know he was getting eaten up by bees. I thought he was just high. That girl in that little bikini, she had a little red dots all over her.
She had red dots all over her.
A little red bikini.
You know when they go into like parts of the Amazon and they find people that have just never been near civilization?
Right.
Stuff
yeah,
like,
yeah.
I mean, that's sort of similar, right?
You, no, you don't talk, he's playing
video
games.
You don't talk like that if you've been isolated for a while.
Yeah, he spends a lot of me time, I think. A lot of time with video games.
Big eat my bees.
I got the gist of what he was saying.
So, I thought it was fantastic. Two more things. One I thought was very nice and very touching. The Teen Choice Awards were on this weekend.
I watched it with my niece and nephew.
And Jessica Alba. Yeah.
Dirty Uncle Oscar.
No.
Wait a second. Uncle Oscar, have a little time with his kid, kidlings. That's
I actually
wonderful.
Asked. There was one dance. I don't know who's performing, but it was they're from Empire. The
okay.
Show Empire. And,
sure.
I looked at my sister and I said, are they allowed to watch this? I mean, I enjoyed it.
Well, one touching moment, Jessica Alba came out and read a statement about how gun violence touches so many. And she was surrounded by relatives
yes.
of people from all the recent shootings.
Okay.
And then she introduced Neo. And I had forgotten about this. I hadn't put this together. Remember, Marvin Gaye was killed by his father, shot by mm-hmm. his father. And right. when Neo sang this, I thought this was a pretty neat and very touching moment. Good voice, good performance,
that's
and
awesome.
A good message. And I really thought it was a very positive aspect of a show that
beautiful.
Doesn't usually address issues. So just wanted to put
lots
some
of
light
short
on
skirts,
that.
Mike.
Shut up, Oscar.
Very
did you watch the PGA Championship?
Yes and no. We had thunderstorms coming through here. I missed a big, big chunk of it, so I did not see that incredible ending.
Well, we just want to close with this. Congratulations to Jimmy Walker, who won. And at the end of it, we asked him for comment, and he said this. That is your Magic Audio Vault. Have a great Monday, everybody.
All right, that's it. Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Mike O'Mara Show. Be sure and join us every day on the air or online at MikeO'MaraShow.com to mail us anything that doesn't stink or tick. Remember, our brand new post office box is Box 32101, Washington, D.C. 20007. All messages and birthday requests for our weekly mailbag segment can be sent to Rob with two B's at MikeO'MaraShow.com. We rely on you. That's right. Thanks for your continued passionate support of all things TMOS. And please continue to spread the word about our show all over the world. For Rob Smiewak and Oscar Santana, this is Mike O'Mara reminding you to join us again for your favorite part of the day, the Mike O'Mara Show. Bye-bye, everybody.
So long.
Ciao, ciao.
One last thing. Please remember that MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon is the best way to shop for anything and everything. So, shop Amazon and get there through our website. Always open at MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon. Now, go in peace.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.